down to Ova. I'm beginning to visit Mr. Weaver this Tuesday, the 6th of February, 73. Tuesday, the 6th of February, 73. Beginning to visit Mr. Weaver with Rick and Debbie this Tuesday, the 6th of February, 73. Now, my friend Aaron Walker was on here just a minute, but that doesn't matter. Mr. Weaver had a haircutting session and his new car this Tuesday, the 6th of February, 73.
I filled it up on January 15th.
Yeah, that didn't burn much out there.
Well, I know it normally didn't. That's why I said that.
We didn't want to burn it. Did you hear those on CBS, those long reports they had on the evening news on the energy crisis?
No, I didn't hear them. I've been hearing of them, but I didn't hear the reports.
Well, they really kept going. They did three or four of those.
Yeah. Well, it is getting short. I don't know just how bad, really. Now, they've got us on a quota system. And I think without any real bad cold weather, well, we don't have enough to get by on. That is, if they can supply the quota, you know.
You mean down at your...
Down in Tampa.
Distributed way down there.
Yeah, coming out of Tampa.
Yeah.
If they can take care of their quota to take give us, well, then we'll be all right on it.
The only shortage is in this stuff.
Well, no, they're gonna be in about March or April, or somewhere right in there. They're gonna run short on gasoline. So they say now. So I don't know, they're even talking about rationing it again.
Is that right?
Yeah, thank you, sir. Yeah, they're even talking about rationing it, so I don't know what's going to happen.
Now, I tape those, you know, I use this thing here on the these machines. If it looks innocent, I always just put the tape on, and if it don't, I just raise it anyhow. You see, I don't have any place to keep them. I don't know, it's an interesting thing. What I ought to have done is put them all on one little reel and just let you take the machine down there and you all play it sometime.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, I know they are getting short and they are doing that. Well, so far they give us a quota that's big enough, I think, so pretty well take care of our customers. Now, there's a lot of companies that are not that fortunate. They don't have it.
Yeah.
So I don't know really what's going to happen.
The what they say here is that the... well, I don't know. You see, I can't bring it all to the head. They got four reports.
Uh-huh.
Four 10 to 15 long reports,
yeah,
on that evening news. Now, the oil companies took a full page in some of those big papers and set out what they thought the trouble was. Now, I didn't see that, you see. And, of course, they would have that in mind, too.
Mm-hmm.
When and you probably got that through your channels down there.
Mm-hmm.
It would circulate down there through you. But, a whole lot of it is, you know, from the little I see of it now, you see, these small people are just small potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
That is what you all do down there. You don't know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And they think they're so big, and way up there, you see, they're so big up there, they can tell the president where to get off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's way in everything.
That's right.
like Florida Power is so big. You see, the governor can't talk to that, tell them. So, God, there's just not any, you just don't know anymore.
That's right, you don't have the answers to it. And when you hear somebody tell you something, you don't know whether it's right or not.
Yeah.
See, I mean, it's the same.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It could get bad. Now, I don't see no reason for it to be that bad, but they say there is, so. But offhand, you'd think that there wouldn't be no reason for it to be that much short right now. Okie dokie, guy. Well, I'll see you then. Listen, I stopped down to Bessie's again.
All right.
Her tank's still about half full. There's still nobody at home, so I didn't put none in this trip.
Yeah.
I haven't seen her since the last time. I haven't seen her.
Well, she is. Yeah.
Well, that's the reason I didn't fill it up again now, because I was afraid somebody else was carrying it off, maybe.
Oh, they will.
Ah! That's true. It's only
yeah.
Still one out now.
That's what they do.
Yeah. So I filled it up the other time, and I haven't seen her, and it's still about half full, so I just left it alone.
I just leave it alone, yeah. Just take that half with you.
That way, I can't do it.
They can, but you can't.
They can, but I can't.
Thank you, Aaron.
Okay, guy.
Just do it this way.
Uh-huh.
He's next pretty limber, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
A lot more limber now.
I heard that.
Yeah. You couldn't help him hearing it. Hard to see you now.
It's fine.
Now, if it's really sore, you know it.
Oh, it's not sore.
I mean, it's not now, but I mean, that's cold.
Yeah.
Cold caused that.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of time.
Sure.
You know, old fella bought these, Barber, bought this past year, way back in the 20, and paid $1 for them, and they're 6 inch. And he asked me to file. He didn't know how to sharpen shears, you see, and sharpen them for him. And when I went sharpening them, you see, I noticed what kind of steel was in it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And somebody had traded them in to a barber supply man, and he paid $1, and I just had paid 2 1/4 for a pair. And mine wasn't so good.
Huh?
And mine is new ones.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him, I says, you want to sell this pair of shears? And he says, no, don't know. Says, what you give me for them? I says, you said you get. Paid $1 for him, then he said, yes. I said, I'll give you $1 1/4. He says, no, I won't take that. I said, well, I'll give you $1.50. He said, he wouldn't take that. I said, what would you take? He says, $2. I reached him $2 right quick. And I've been using them ever since, back in the 20s. But now they're longer than that when I first went to using them.
Oh.
I wouldn't give them for a new patch you can buy today. Just how much difference in old steel and new steel to what we get today.
Right.
Look how they're worn down, you see. You can tell how...
Yeah, I was going to say, are they made like that?
Is it
wearing
that? They're this much longer.
Well, what do you use, a file?
Yeah, I just take a file or I have a rock that I can just rub them on that way. And
uh-huh.
Of course, I know what degree to put it on, you see. I just take them in my hand this way and just take it on. Pull it easy way out and rub it on home.
Mm-hmm.
Anything, and you got to keep this here right at the edge. If you don't keep that cut down, it'll get to where this here tightened. See, I used all the screw up now and it's worn to thin until I have to take a hammer to tighten it.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's no threads. I've done more down, it's got to thin.
Sure.
But you know, they cut better now, and I have some new ones down, but they don't cut good.
They don't.
I think I'll give those I paid 2 1/4, I think I'll give more. They never did cut good.
Yeah.
Never could get them before they'd work good. Now, there's a pair of clippers. He got these for me, Mr. Mom. Mm-hmm.
Now, Rick did Julie and the Dissidary story. And I worked over Ed Rush and the Bobcat and McClinney, you know. And then I picked up from McClinney and that thing into your connections round. You see, in that, you got Thunder from this fella you swapped in that old Redbone, a young one, what it was, that fella from High Springs.
Yeah.
And then a little later, I said, Miss Beaver, these dogs, I didn't know dogs a year old could run a fox. Why, he says, Beauty was just 4 months old when she started. And then you got onto these puppies that you got let your nephew took out there that day.
Mm-hmm.
And they was from the two dogs that you had from Jimmy Price and the fella Goolsby.
You got mixed up there. The puppies that my brother took out were from Red Gal, from this little red dog that done that good running over. It was one of her puppies, an old Grady Higgins puppy.
Grady Higgins.
Yeah, that was one that my nephew, we took over on the run. The first picked up a fox track at 3 months old, never been out of the kennel, and we had to run them down and catch them. They was going where we couldn't get them out, and they didn't know how to come back, you know. No collars on them.
Oh, that was
was way later after this other.
Well, now, that was a puppy 3 months old that you put in the car there that day with old Sam.
Yeah, that was a puppy. Now, you...
But they was the ones that was the litter that you got from Jimmy Price and Goolsby.
No, Lilybell and Steve was the one that got from Jimmy Price.
Wait a minute. Yes. Now, wait a minute. I got it wrong.
Yeah,
I got it wrong. The three litter mates.
Yeah.
That was on the race over there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was Big Boy.
Steve and Lit. Yeah, Big Boy and Beauty and Penny.
Penny. Yeah, that's and, what it was.
And Lady.
That's what it was. Well,
Lady wasn't running that morning.
Yeah. And then it was the Great Hagen puppies that you.
Dear Frank.
Dear Frank. Yeah, then he got it. But that takes it to Jimmy Price and then to the White Horse over there.
Yeah.
Now you see
that's before Jimmy Price is before this.
You see, I got to string it on something.
Yeah.
And what I stringed it on, you see, is you see how the dogs take you everywhere.
Yeah. How they run and how they bark.
Well, all the people you see that you get connected with.
Now listen.
That's the way I sort of strung that together.
I ought to bark, and like every dog that did bark that morning, and let you got that on that there too, me barking like those dogs bark. And all of them barking at the same time and just running for life. And I seen them coming, seen the old cat come way down, and I stayed still sitting in the road. Now, did you get through asking the questions you wanted to do?
No, I just waiting for you. I just listened to you.
Well, I was aiming to go back and come over that same thing
all
again,
right.
You see.
Go ahead.
You see, when we put them, you want me to go over the whole store and...
No, just go ahead where you are right now.
Well, I was standing in no road and they'd made the circle way back east and come back down through the scrub and back around and came up and...
And you heard them.
Yeah, and I could hear them all the time and I was standing, had my truck parked up behind this old road out in the, in the Goldberry Patch in Palmetto's. So I could see almost a 4 meter to that grade out yonder. I seen that old cat come in the road, and I knew they wasn't for him. Where they was barking, they wasn't far behind him. And I started to move, and I said, if he looks up and sees me move, he'll turn and go somewhere else. I'm going to just stay still, standing at the back of my truck, right in the middle of the road. He got up just about 4 meters at that cedar tree right out there.
Oh, that's just 34 steps.
Yeah, from me before he ever seen me of being still in my truck, standing there. And when he see me, he just doing this, we looked up this way, but he had to move.
Well, he stopped stock still.
He stopped and looked at me a little bit, but the dogs were coming too close behind him.
Uh-huh.
He jumped way out this way, and here they come. And I'll tell you what, so all the whole pack of dogs was much farther apart than this. Little Red Gal my brother's dog was in one rut, and Penny was in the other one, and all the rest of them looked like about 10 feet back. Right in there, Keep's dogs and Mr. Royce's dogs and my other dog were right in behind that cat. When Red Gal came to the place and Penny, where that cat jumped out of the road, you know, they just put brakes on us with every one of them skidded. See him throw a head up and just turn to the right the way that cat went out the window, didn't
it? Now, that was a grade road then.
That wasn't on the grade then. That was not old, just an old sand road.
That's what I mean. It's not a grade road, road.
It wasn't sand.
It wasn't even graded.
No, it was just an old sand road you drive out in. That's where we'd get out to see them run, you see. They'd cross and run on the road, you see.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't run on the highways in daytimes much. And, see, we just had left the highway, come from McIntosh to Ed Royce, right up that hill, right out there. Someday, we have time.
Right, go ahead. They just put on the brakes.
They just put the brakes on, jumped this way, went right out in there, one of them barking just, some of them was barking this way, all different barks, every one of them was.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like going to a big singing convention when you have a big pack.
Don't tell me.
And you see the fox and how he dodges, you know. See, that cat was going to see, he'd been a fooling a lot of people's dogs there when he come to that road and run down that road. He'd be and right smart piece ahead. It took him a long time to work his track out in that road, you see.
Oh, yeah.
But they was close to him, and they didn't have any trouble. They could smell him in the air.
Yeah.
And
couldn't miss him.
Went on out to this pond out there, and they stayed right in that real sick place, and he couldn't get far enough ahead to even start to leave that place anymore. And after a while, I heard them catch him. I said, "Mr. Keep, you go right on." They'd walked around and come back around where I was at there. I said, "You go right through here, and I'm going to ride around on the highway and come back on the other side of that pond over there. You go through here," and I said, "get to them as quick as you can." I said, "they've caught that cat." And got out there. He was the one that was telling me about Mr. Rush's cripple dog.
Yeah.
The cat was sitting up on him fighting the other dog.
What dog was that?
Had Mr. Rush's cripple dog.
That's a three-legged dog.
Yeah, he got his foot hurt. He didn't doctor it. He was old and didn't doctor it and didn't let us know. And we'd went and doctored his dog for him. He was a good young dog.
What's that dog's name?
It's a young dog.
I don't remember his name.
Oh.
But you see, he was a young dog, and I've forgotten what he called that one.
You don't know where he got him.
Fella gave him to him, and nobody could catch him, but nobody would probably have to keep a long time before anybody could catch him. See, none of us couldn't catch him.
Oh.
But Mr. Rush could. But he followed me on out there from about a quarter, half a mile, you know, from Mr. Rush's house where I turned loose at.
Uh-huh.
And I knew where the cat used, you see, myself. Well, Mr. Rush had told me that cat and McQueen is telling him up here last spring, uptown here, about his cat, and his only cat that he ever put his dogs after he couldn't catch. And said, "Is that all right, Mr. Rush's?"
Well, what trouble you think he had, Mr. Weaver?
Well, I couldn't
was
say.
Was it McQueen or McClenny?
McClenny.
McClenny.
McClenny. He's not my tax collectors. He may be related to them, but he's a kind of red-faced fellow. He's in Gainesville yet.
Yeah.
And he was telling him last year about that cat, his only cat he couldn't catch.
Yeah.
And I didn't think about it. I got thinking, you know, I didn't think about that.
Well, now, how'd them other dogs go?
Which ones?
Out there.
His?
When they was running that cat.
You mean...
That's what you started out telling us, how they all went.
Oh, they was barking?
Yeah.
Oh, some of them barked long. Oh, 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 oh. Some of them barked different ways, you see.
Uh-huh.
And I can't remember just how all of them barked, but some of them was real fine. Lady, one that didn't run the cat, I'd whip her, I imagine, for trailing a cat and put her after a fox one morning. She never would run a cat after that.
Uh-huh.
And I figured it. I thought she was after a rabbit, and I didn't. I just brushed it a little enough to let her know that I didn't want to run that. I thought it was a rabbit in the briar patch, you see, and I thought she was, no other dog was helping her.
But you knew her bark.
Yeah, she barked. Oh, 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 and from then on, after I got up to that morning, she run nothing but a fog. And after she got so far down with heartworms, wasn't no use treating her. I'd carried her 2 or 3 times a year or two, and the veterinarian said she didn't show any heartworms. She didn't show worms at all. I says, Dr. Owens, I says, I believe you're wrong on that. I says, I've treated her for everything but heartworms, and I says, I know I've got that she's not worming no other way. But I wanted you to check with that. He said, ain't no use. Well, next year I carried her up out into, what was that other fellow's name? He died a year or two ago at Northwest Hospital. Whole Morgan used to be way back yonder.
Yeah, Owens the only one I know.
Owens, well, he's at Gainesville Little Animal Hospital. This is up by Whole Morgan, and then Owens, Owens worked for Morgan for a long time. Then he come down and opened up this other Owens did.
And he's the one that everybody knew him.
Yeah, everybody knows him now, but I knew him all back then, back in the 30s, you see. I knew all the veterinarians then, you see, is up there in Gainesville. And Morgan is a good, he was from Texas, he's a good veterinarian. And all those fellas all right. And this one up out to North here now is a good veterinarian. He's one that treated Lee over there.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't think he'd live, said he never would run anymore.
Where'd you get Lee?
I raised him.
From who?
From Mayflower and, Lee is from Dan and Mary, a dog that belonged to, I'll take his name in a minute.
You kept the dog?
Yeah, I raised, bred the dog to Dan, you see, and raised it. But Mayflower was the mother of Dan. And, mother of Little Ann, too, and mother of Cookie. She's my mama now. She's still living, the greatest mate. And Douglas Boyd's keeping, he called her Dusty. That wasn't a good name for a Walker dog, but he called her Dusty.
Mm-hmm.
And she's still living.
Now, Douglas can't keep any dogs where he is up there now.
He can't? Well, I don't know where he can or not, because he's got some of them up down there up at High Springs. He got two Cason that he hunts with up there. But Douglas said the other day he was going to bring the other one back down there to me to keep for him, you see. He didn't say he couldn't keep it. I don't know why.
Cason, one of his friends up at High Springs?
Yeah, he left two of them. He asked me if I'd keep him. I told him I'd rather not do it, but I'd take the other one and keep it for him. That's Dan's mate.
Mm-hmm.
But Dan is the daddy of one of these other dogs he had, you see.
Cason wasn't that fellow that traded you Thunder. That was another
fellow. Cason's another fella. I've forgotten that fella's name up there that I got Thunder from. I'd got some puppies from the fella, and he sold them to me. I think I paid him $5 a piece for them. To be half blue ticks and half beagles. And there's half vice and no blue tick and no beagle in them. And I let a fella have one of them and didn't get no higher than that, and it looked dead like a fice when it got grown.
Yeah.
And I was getting these other dogs, you know. I didn't want to. They weren't good enough for me, you see. They're not the kind of dogs I wanted to hunt with. And either one of them didn't get no higher than that. And I gave one of them another puppy and went to try to get a hold of the other fella and give him one in the place of his, because I'd let him have them to be half blue ticks and half beagles. Well, that wasn't treating the boys right. Sell them or something, and it wasn't that. And this one that Harry got out here made one of the best coon and possum dogs you ever seen, just about that high, and that's what he wanted at that time, and I didn't know it. But I done gave him another good dog, good puppy for it.
Well, now, how'd you get Dan?
I raised him. I bred Douglas Boyd had a dog the name of, I think of his name, there's many names to think of, you know.
Yeah, but he is a good dog.
Yeah. He wouldn't run. A fellow in Gainesville had him, and he was a full-blooded walker. And he wouldn't run. And Doug always come to me and ask me about dogs, you know. And I said, if you can get there, he says, I can buy that dog for $30. And he's a year old and had never run nothing. I said, you mean that dog can green? He said, that puppy's in green, and Edward's little dog, they ordered. And he said, yes. I said, well, I don't need the dog. But I said, you go ahead and buy it. I'll give you $30 if you don't want him. Bring him over there and turn him loose with just for your other dogs and let him alone.
Mm-hmm.
I says, they beat him too much.
Oh.
And I says, he'll just turn him loose with those other dogs, and they'll be going out. First thing you know, he'll be running. Well, just a short time, he come up and got over there. Here he come. He's ahead after a fox running. Ahead of his other dog, but that's just an accident. He's ahead.
Uh-huh.
I turned two loose and never run before, and went right in there and run there. And one of the fellas from Gainesville, I showed him. I said, now there comes Frosty, is his name. There comes Frosty right there. Now that's him right there. I said, that ain't Doug's, the other dogs. But all of them are just a little piece behind him. He just happened to get a little pickup on him. Here the fox come running and like jumped on one of my young dogs, and I never run. He run back. They began to holler, and I said, you fellas get quiet. These dogs ain't, don't know nothing about running. Said, let me handle them. Cat him on out there, and they went right on after the fox before these other dogs got there. And I said, Mr. Pilgrim, I said, didn't you tell me that puppy wouldn't run nothing? And that was the first time I'd carried him out. I brought him back from Mr. Pilgrim and swapped him another dog for him. He said they wouldn't run.
Mm-hmm.
And he went right on in there and run for 3 hours, and we caught him. And Mr. Pilgrim had to go back to Gainesville and tell the other boys about it.
Who is he, Mr. Pilgrim?
He hunts with Edwards and Green and some of them, you know, up there in Gainesville.
Edwards,
yeah. They hunt together. They won't hunt with me, hardly.
Oh, they won't?
No. We don't hunt alike. My dogs go and get up a fox and run it, and they won't put theirs after it, you know, on the short track. And I turn mine loose, they're gone.
Well, that's what McClenny used to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, McClenny used to do that too, and put one or two out to strike, you know, and let that.
Well,
where
did they get that system?
That's
what I told you. I thought that's
deer,
what hunts us.
That's deer hunting stuff.
Deer?
Hunting up a buck's track.
Oh, they see it.
They put the dog after it. See, if you don't, they turn it loose to come across the door. Deer will run it, you know, and it.
Oh.
And. They don't hunt but just a short hunt, you know.
The deer.
I mean, deer run there. You can't run one down. It takes a heck of a good pack of dogs to run a deer down.
And can't go off and leave him.
Then he can run. He can outrun a dog, run off and leave him too. Somebody else will be on and put in head if you cross by, and they'll put that dog in ahead of yours, and yours not even.
Oh, they'll see him.
Yeah, they kill it. They kill it. They won't. It's customary for them to give the man's dogs running it hay when they kill it. But they grab
sure
it up, and a lot of times grab the dogs up and steal them and carry them off and never see it. One of Doug's dogs, second year, well.
Let me tell you, that's old Joe. Is that your dog over there now?
Oh, Dan.
Dan. Now let me see. That was, that was this dog. That
Doug had.
Doug got from
Green to Daddy.
Green.
Yeah.
That was Frosty.
Bred
Frosty.
Mayflower. She still.
That
runs.
Was your dog.
Yeah, Mayflower was my dog, and she run till she is. There's a place on her neck where it's large, and she's old. I wouldn't care and have it cut out. I'm afraid. And last time I carried her hunting, I had to run her down and catch her. She wouldn't quit. She just kept trotting.
Mayflower.
Yeah, and going on after the fox, you know.
Mm.
I caught her and told the other fella to catch my other two dogs, catch Dan and Lenny.
Well, now, Dan has sired a lot of your puppies.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's
your head.
He's the oldest stud dog I have. They went to breeding to him when he was 8 months old. Somebody killed Grady and Lindy the same day. And He came to breed to Grady Hagen, and he is the only dog I had there left, 8 months old, and I was going to get some puppies from that dog, and he lived at Waldo. Well, he got to letting his dog run out and going down in the woods hunting, lived in the edge of town down in a swamp, and dog was coming in, and somebody run over and killed her. And he came down, he almost cried, told me about it, and says, if you ever do have any more puppies, says, I want one of them. I says, he gave me his phone number, says, call me up, I'm going to get one of them.
One of which puppies?
Well, one of mine for my dogs, you know, because he was wanting to breed to get Dan's puppies in.
Yeah.
And so that...
But he didn't have any dogs to breed Dan to.
No, he didn't have none then, but he wanted to get a puppy for me, you see.
Yeah.
And of course he could register those dogs, you see.
Yeah, that's up at Waldo.
Yeah, he lived at Waldo. 3 days, a week I believe it was, about a week before, I called him and had some puppies and to come down and look at him, pick him out one. He said, I just told my kennel down, we're not going to get any more dogs. Says, I appreciate you calling. Says, we want them, but says, right here we're afraid we'll get them killed. Said, we thought so much of that dog got killed. Said, we worried so much about it, we decided not to even keep a dog. And a lot of things like that happens, you know, and raising your dog, just like you, your cow and calf. You know, this cow, her foot was so bad. She's still living, isn't she?
Yeah, she just had a calf yesterday.
Well, now that's fine cow. That's almost perfect cow.
Yeah, she is.
Built and everything.
She got a
I'd have been a great loss, and it looked bad when I came out here.
Yeah, she didn't have a calf last year. But Dan is your head...
He's the only old, really trained dog I have right now.
Now, he's had some pretty good
Oh, yeah, those four white puppies out, Lee and Judy and Dixie and Major. He's daddy them. Those puppies.
Was Frosty there, Mama?
Huh?
Was Frosty there, Mama?
No, Frosty was Dan's daddy.
Oh, Frosty was Dan's daddy. Oh,
yeah.
I thought Frosty was a Jip.
No,
I got
Frosty
turned around.
Frosty was one of bred the Mayflower.
Oh, I see. Sure. Sure.
And it hurt me. I couldn't get Frosty from Doug. I didn't have the money. And I'd let him have dogs if he wanted them, and he could pay me when he could.
Yeah.
That was back when I was working, you know, and I could make money. I didn't have to worry about getting a dog if I wanted. But I'd got sick, got to where I couldn't work and couldn't drive a car. I couldn't even walk. And he so basically let Edwards have him for $50 and I'd have gave him $75. He asked me $75 for it. I said, Doug, I can't buy him now. I don't have the money now. And I'd always been letting him just take the dog on, and he'd pay me as long as he could. You know, he was working. And but after I got down, he wanted to swap that dog, and he wanted the money to get a red dog. The other boys talked him in to get some red bones, and he did get burned up. And I swapped him one dog for one of Dan's puppies back. I guess I'm jumping too much.
You just go right ahead.
Well, that's right.
Best to get on one store and tell the whole story.
Yeah, that's fine. Now, old Doug got burnt on them red bones.
He got burnt plumb up, and he had swapped me one of Dan's puppies back, and she was as good as ever went in the woods for a dog that didn't run that I'd got. Took in, fellas owed me, and I took this dog in on what they owed me, you see. And he had offered to swap even. And you know what I did? I wouldn't treat him that way. I says, Doug, how much booty you want? And his dog was worth $100 anybody's money. So that, he said about $25-$30. I said, here it is. And
he was going to swap even with you.
Yeah, he was swapped even with Edwards, and Edwards' dog weren't half as good as that one.
Well,
and for Frosty, and he asked me $75, and Edwards just had to, if found up this feed. See, he said he'd done promised Edwards that dog, you know. And
well, now, that was a red bone that Mr. Rush had, or you had down at Mr. Rush's.
Yeah, that red bone that I got from...
that this fellow, McClenny, no, that the fellow from High Springs brought for. Now, what he want a red bone for?
For a tree dog.
Tree dog?
To run coons. He swapped me a Thunder because he wouldn't... Thunder wouldn't run coons good, you know. He was a half walker and a half trig, and they'd been bred for fox and cats, you know, and same running dogs, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't like Thunder. I didn't even look at Thunder. Yeah, I believe I did. He had him in the cart, I believe. I said, well, I tell you, I just come in from hunting. I said, tell you what you do. You go on over at Mr. Rush's and see Mr. Rush and tell him that if you want that red bone owl, he's a good-looking dog. But he'd been whipped for running fox, and when there'd be a running coming by us, you know. If he seen anybody, he stopped and went way around, went that way, and of course he'd been whipped for running fox.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted him to run nothing but coons, you see. Well, he was a good dog, but see, Mr. Rush and Mr. Williams from Jacksonville hunted with him, they didn't like that because he couldn't go around him, you see. Wouldn't come on by him. And I'd let Mr. Rush keep him to hunt him. So I swapped, he went on over and he swapped him, Mr. I didn't even hear that dog run.
Well, did Mr. Rush, did he hunt coons too?
Well, he did, Boo. He had several years back.
Yeah.
His dogs all run coons or anything.
Oh, did they?
And he had dogs, you know, he had a Negro working for him over while I looked after his dog and fed him and kept him like the coon hunting. He let him coon hunt with his dogs.
Any of them?
Yeah. And
so he didn't have just what you call fox dogs?
Not all the time. Now, this doctor from Carolina came down and he had all these mixed up breeds of dogs, you know, and tree dogs. He went back up in Carolina and said, I'm going to send you a couple of puppies. And he sent him a couple of registered walkers down.
Yeah.
And one of them turned out to be as good a dog as ever went in the woods. And the other one was a cutter, a wooden pack. When the other dog would catch up with him, he'd cut around and run around and get in front. That was all he'd do. Well, listen, you
well, wait a minute. Who is Williams? He said he'd call when he got through, got the thing done.
Williams, he had a place over here that kept his dogs at Fairfield, but he lived in Jacksonville. He's been dead several years. See, that's...
Oh, he lives in Jacksonville.
Yeah, he did live in Jacksonville. He's dead now. Been dead 10 or 15 years.
He kept his dogs?
Yeah, the fellow kept them, looked at them. He had a little farm over here at Fairfield, and he'd come over here every weekend to go hunting.
And the fellow on the farm kept the dogs for him?
Yeah. On his farm. He owned the farm, Mr. Williams did.
So
I never hunted much with him because they had two lower class of dogs. I didn't
so
like
him and Mr. Rush would hunt.
They'd hunt some together, you know, and Keep hunted some with him. Keep him and Keep and
Emma?
Frank. See, Emma and Frank's brothers, you know. Don't you know Emma?
Mm-hmm.
I know you know Frank.
Mm-hmm.
I know you know him.
Okay, here we go.
Let me get into this year. I've got to go. I know that fella's come and leave if I can help it.
We'll get you over there.
My meat's too big, Mr. Wheeler.
Now, I can talk a week or two on the silver hunt. You know, so many people don't like it. I try to watch them. People don't like you talking about dogs and hunting. I don't like to.
Oh, they don't. They want to talk about nothing, do they?
Yeah, well, a lot of them want to talk about something they like to talk about. Not just me talk all the time. I don't believe I bought a pen. I can fix this.
You want me to get you one, Mr. Weaver?
I think I can fix it around this collar.
Yeah,
I'll get it.
I got one upstairs. I'll get it.
That's all right.
I think this will hold. Okay. This way, the way I fix it in like that down on the shirt, it'll hold pretty good. Like that.
Are you looking at that light?
Yeah, I'm going to just cut you one side of it today because I can't see out of my eyes.
Well, that'd be better than nothing. I just
cut one side.
Well, I can't
see it'd be a good eye, doesn't it bother
that?
Me? It bothers me. That's my best eye, and I can't see a thing all the day out of it.
Yeah.
It's easy if you spread that a little bit. You forgotten how you do that?
I never did turn it on. Or push it down. There you go.
Look at there.
Now you want to get just put a bowl up here and do it quick?
Yeah. You don't need cutting on top this
time. Yes.
Here, I'll cut it a little shorter this time then. Let's see. Did we leave these here? Did we cut around this way or finish?
Well, we do it both ways.
Well, let me try it this way this time.
But generally, we just leave them.
Well, I'll leave it. See, I'll pull that down there and I'll leave that a little bit.
Just leave that.
For you.
It don't seem like you're leaving much, but it's all right.
Is that high enough? Yes, we can.
Who's next? But we, let me tell you.
You know how people get talking about that. You know, it feels so funny. I turn in and get this on the heel, and I go up and ask them to fire. You learned my heart. He started to and caught himself.
Well, I tell you what. When did you first know about this little car that you got now?
Oh, when he first got it, about 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh, don't tell me.
Well, I know, but when did he bring it over there?
Oh, as
Tuesday.
Thursday.
You mean it's been over there all this time?
Yeah.
You know, they go over there and check in on you, but they don't leave a note. They're illiterate.
I tell you what, you put your note if I don't come out.
On the kitchen door?
No. Put it on that cedar tree out there, where at there,
Which tree?
Out there at the front.
Where the runs come up? Where the wires tie?
I'll tell you why. If someone comes up.
Oh, I see.
Some of the dogs, one of them was out of the pen the other afternoon when I came in. They get to barking out over at the front and leaves in the pen. Sometimes they get out trying to come see. And if I'm not there, I'm afraid someone will run over them, see if they get on the highway.
Sure.
And I always look out there, and if they're not coming in, I always go to the door right quick, you know. And if somebody they know, I can just, if I'm out to talk to them, they won't try to get out.
Oh, you mean if we come over there, come up from the front?
Yeah, and...
And don't bother the dogs down the back.
Why, you can almost tell from the way they raise sand. They just raise sand that I'm not there.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
And if they don't bark too much out there, you might not say that I'm there. Because they'll look back and see if I'm coming.
Yeah.
And you can watch the dog, and he'll look back to see if I'm coming. If I'm not there, he may not look back very much.
Yeah.
But he'll bark much more than he will if he does if he's not there.
And they put their hair up when you're not there.
What's that?
They put their hair up when you're not there.
Yeah.
A little bit.
You can tell the difference yourself. I bet you noticed it when I was there.
Well.
they know when I leave, they watch me, and sometimes they go to howl, and I go to leave, and I go back and have to make them shut up, you know, because if mine barks, you know, sometimes some of them kicks about it and gets after me about it.
Mr. Weaver, they didn't always bark when they could just run loose and people come around.
Not as bad. They're all dogs that were just one man house and will bark more than they will.
Well, up there in Alabama, you could just let them run loose.
Well, I turn them loose. Yeah, if somebody come up, they'd bark and let you know it's coming up.
Oh, you reckon?
Yeah. It's just an instinct in them to do that.
Yeah.
They'll let you know. I can tell from the way they bark if it's a dog out there passing, or if it's someone out there stopping. I can tell from the way they bark, the sound of the bark.
Mm-hmm.
Well, last Thursday, Mr. Reed, when this fellow come up, was you expecting him?
Yeah. he seen me Wednesday when he got that and told me he was going on if he got that car, that he'd come back and pick me up and carry me to Gainesville the next day.
Oh, in the car, in the new car?
No, in the old one, and go up there and put that, and sign it over, that car over to me.
Yeah. Oh, did he?
And I says, I can't do that. I says, I don't have any money to buy it with. He says, I didn't say anything about money.
Yeah.
And so that he says, I'll be here now if I get that other car.
Yeah.
And I could tell he is kind of like, there's something that's going on he didn't especially like. He never talks much. He's a nice fella.
Yeah.
He's, and couldn't find out this time, trying to make out like there's much wrong with this car here.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't in the count, wasn't worth anything. And he said he'd rather give it to me. He said, let them have it.
Yeah.
Said he didn't want to give it, offer him nothing for it.
And that was on Wednesday.
That was Wednesday, and he came back then next morning and carried me up and signed the papers over to me.
Is that right? And you drove this car?
Yeah, he drove this one. He's using it. He said that I could drive a long time without having work done to it. But I rather, as soon as I can, I want to have it fixed. I don't want it.
Well, there may not be how much wrong with it, Weaver, except those loose bolts.
See, I can get out and pick up a little job of work, you know, and every once in a while and work a few hours. I can never get my hand what I use it.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it? I have a lot of people that like to get me to do their carpenter work for them. And I can't charge them like I charge them because they can't do enough work. And I'll just work a few hours at a time and quit. Some days I work 2 or 3 hours. Sometimes I go to think I work and get the job, I just turn and drive off. I have to go back to the house.
But they think you ought to just go ahead and finish it.
No, most of them to go along with me. Sometimes they get in a hurry and sink it. And I tell them, I says, I can't do that. Just like I'd like to. I says, I'd like to work 10 hours a day if I could.
Whatever happened to old Lady Hennessy? She's still around?
She's still around there.
Yeah.
She has a cancer.
She still writes you notes?
No, she speaks to me now. She wouldn't for a long time.
She wouldn't?
She
wouldn't talk to you?
She'd write him letters.
I got some letters that I could make her wish she hadn't wrote me, but I won't do it. It wouldn't do me no good. But if I report her for writing those letters through the mail. You can't ride.
Mr. Weaver, who was old Sam that you had with you that time when you took those puppies out with little Frank?
That was a dog that Frank had got a hold of from over here at Rocio, I think. He was a pretty good deer dog, I think.
Yeah.
That's all that man old Rocio. I think all he ever really hunted.
Yeah, well, he's right there in the deer reserve.
Uh-huh. Well, he's a nice fella. He didn't want to feed him all summer and he gave him to Frank. He had other dogs too he liked better. But he was a pretty good dog. Wouldn't.
Is Wirt Carter about as good a hunter around in the country here that you hunted with?
Wirt Carter is as good a hunter as I ever hunted with.
Oh, really?
He had some of him those I think the name just wild that over there around there, they had dogs way back in the 30s and in the 20s, they had registered walker dogs in. I mean,
oh, did they? Mr. Carter, too?
Mr. Carter, he won second state field trial up there in Tallahassee. Mm. Right.
Well,
that about two or three years ago, and I think it's the same stock of dogs I got. They would never tell me.
I'd ask them,
where did you get the dog? Where did you get that good stock of dogs from? See, I let them have needles, and I used to get some puppies from Chuck that hunted with Work Carter now, and they never did let me have my puppies, but they all got dogs from them. Then Williams and them come over there and bought six puppies from me one day, and wanted the other two, and I told them I was going to keep two of them for myself. And
just a couple of weeks old?
2 months old.
Yeah. Is that as young as you need to sell them?
Well, you can sell them younger, but it's best not. 8 weeks old is the best. You can take them at six. I don't let nobody have them at four. Some of them will take them at 4 weeks old, but it's too hard on the puppies.
Yeah. So, does it stun them?
Yeah. A lot of times. Sometimes it doesn't, but a lot of times it does. I'd rather keep them a little longer and let them so they can be sure and have a good purpose.
You know what Mr. Carter said about you?
Oh, you can't tell about these fox hunters what they're telling. They're on each other.
Now, he didn't tell me. He told Rick. Rick went up there and something or other talking about you. Why, he says that old man, that old Mac Weave over there, he says all he does is talk about dead dogs.
That's about lacking.
He says, I don't want to talk about dead dogs. I mean, he talks about all of them, don't he?
It's kind of like out up in Alabama, and I sold my dogs one time. I was trying to buy some for that, and we'd go hunting. He'd price them, I'd reach them in the billfold, pull out the money to pay him. He'd say, well, just wait and let them rest up, and says, come back over and let's go another hunting. Tell me that there for about a month. And I was trying to get these dogs. He eventually let me have one of them. And I never did get the other one. So that we were over running, you know, and some of the fellas would holler when their dog would happen to get a pickup, you know, and they run over and then they're in the bark first, you know, on the pickup, they'd say, come on, and call his name. I was lying back over by the bar listening, you know, after a while. I said it just as solemn. I says, well, I says, one of them says to me, he says, we talk to our dogs, says, and they get a pickup that way. We talk about them, says, do better, we'll do that. I says, well, I'll tell you, hey, for a man, boy brags on his dog, to know that he's been dead 2 years before he brags on it. And after it's been dead 2 years, be sure and look around and see if anybody had ever heard that dog run. Then I said, brag on. Everybody laughed, you know. I said, then everybody. See, when we are waiting on the dogs to get a fox going out of where we have a fire built up there in Alabama, you know. You can't follow them like you can down here. And it's cold. So that we tell jokes and kid each other while the dogs are hunting the fox. And keep each other awake, you know, from going to sleep.
Well, down here you don't talk, you just follow.
Oh, they do down here too. They talk and get like Word Carter talking about a dead dog.
They generally brag a little bit on things they've had, their dogs and their
hunting. Didn't the other fellas put you out of business? I hope you all get these jokes now. I like to tell jokes too. I can make them just about as fast as the other fellas can.
Yeah, you can, it's
true. Yeah. Well, I think it'd be pretty easy to joke with Word Carter. He seems to be right there waiting for you.
Yeah, he don't care for it. He likes to joke. I tell you, good known working and a bunch of them, they had such good dogs, and I was getting the first pack. They wouldn't go hunting, and he is hunting Mr. Rush, and Robert Williams had some. Little, you know Robert lived over here, up on the hill out close to the station where we were up.
Oh, you mean he used to have dogs?
Yeah. So John McCray and Dizzy there and all of this hunting together, you know, and I had some young dogs.
Yeah, back in the 30s.
Yeah, first the 30s. So that we had, they was going to have a big hunt down there this side of Citra, and there's people from Leesburg coming down there and running. Well, there's a bobtail fox down there. This is a good story. And he had run anybody's dog 12 hours. Well, there's three, and most of the dogs had run out and quit, couldn't stand it. Well, they all met and went the night before. They told me, and I didn't get to go. Well, I kept trying to get a hunt with those fellas, my young dogs, you know. And they, I want to see what they'd do, and they wouldn't, any of them go. One night, this there told me if I'd come back about, they're still running at 4 o'clock the next morning, if I'd come back, oh yeah, they didn't pick him up, he'd go over there. Well, we went over there, and when it struck, my dog struck it. These young dogs struck the fox and jumped it and run 200-300 yards ahead all night long. Not a dog they had quit either. 4 o'clock, I went back and got Dizzy there, and I didn't tell him anything. We got back down, now that old John and Julia was way ahead, and held it till after daylight till 8 o'clock, and treated it the next morning. That was my two dogs. I didn't say nothing, I just loaded the dog, come on, carried him back, and put his dogs out, and carried John's dogs back to him.
John McCray?
Yeah. Well, they couldn't understand that, you know, and got Ed Rush next time. They did the same thing all night long with these other dogs.
Well, you and Dizzy there, then next time you got Ed Rush.
Yeah, and Ed Rush and Dizzy there, then they told Work Carter about it. Work says, tell him what you do. And you all come over and get old Major and Happy next time. That's his dog's name. And Dixie. They did that, but Work couldn't come that night, but he told them, so you carry those dogs. They're a little faster than these other fellas' dogs. Next, we jumped the fox, and all night long, the same thing, John and Julio had. And I wasn't saying nothing. I didn't tease none of them. I didn't say anything.
You didn't have to.
So that, here's the way their dogs are larger than mine. Work says, tell you, we'll carry down yonder door towards Sand Hill and see, and it's open. Says, those little dogs can get through the get through those thick better than our dogs can. We'll carry them down there and see what they do. Well, Work couldn't go, you know, and they carried Work's dogs back to him and said, well, how did it come out? He says, those little dogs here out running worse down there in the open woods than did up there around Citra. That's what that old dog did. Work told me about it. You know, he's a good sport, you see. He told me about it, you see. What to say. And I still hadn't said anything because along the line is winning. I was afraid to say anything, afraid to lose next time.
Superstitious with me, like I am.
You got not dragged too much, you know. If I'd have went outside, my dogs hadn't done nothing, they could have killed me then.
Well, I know this is going to work out on my haircut, but it's interesting. Now, what dogs was it you had? John and
Julie. Yeah.
Oh, that was Julie. Now, who was John?
John's Julie's mate.
Oh, was he?
One that you old.
Yeah.
That was back in the 30s.
Yeah.
Yes.
Back in the 30s. Now, that's. See, I can tell you lots of hunts we'd all run together.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and had John and Julie, and they never did lose. That little Julie dog never was defeated.
Yeah.
I quit buying dogs. I tried to buy some dogs to run with it. I never did find one could. Her mate couldn't run. It got to where he couldn't keep up with it.
John?
John couldn't keep up with Julie. She'd run ahead of him. He'd stay back in the pack.
I'm a dime.
And
now what got everybody, you couldn't give it to nobody. When they looked at her.
Oh, yes, yes.
You couldn't have the dog I told you, you know, until I tried to give away.
Yes.
And then everybody tried to buy her after he had run.
Yeah.
I never seen a fella wouldn't offer to buy that dog after she'd run.
Mm.
I tried to give away. I'm a sucker too. And I was one to raise her. I didn't raise her, but I got a fella paid man to raise her for me in Alabama. I didn't have time to fool with him too much, and if I read it.
Well, they raised her out in Alabama?
Yeah.
Oh.
I was up there and I left her and had some puppies that whelped up there. I'd swap dogs and got one that was already bred, you know, and I gave a good coon dog for this one, and she was supposed to run a fox, she wouldn't run nothing but a rabbit when I got, but I got those good puppies from her.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I got those good dogs out of.
And that's where Julie come from?
Yeah. That's where Julie and John came from.
Well, who was Julie's mama? That fella had the dogs?
No, she was up there coming up there in Alabama.
Oh.
I swapped dogs up there. A fella got me to buy him a coon dog, and when the season, coon season's over, he didn't pay me for him, brought him back and said he didn't want him. And I took him up there in Alabama, swapped him, the fella wanted a coon dog.
Oh, I see.
This dog's supposed to run a fox, but she never would. He run rabbits.
Well, now, who was it? Who was it Mr. Carter had, them two dogs of his?
Dixon, Happy, and Major.
Well, you raised them.
Dixon, Happy, and Major, and the others couldn't keep up your dogs, and he thought they could.
Yeah, he is a little faster than them, and so he told me what they were doing, and see, I knew what they were doing. See, he was trying to get these other dogs. Some dogs would run with John and Julie, but they couldn't do it. These two dogs would outrun theirs every time, and I mean run the fox, not cut. They wasn't cutters, they were just fox dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept them till they're 7 years old, those two dogs.
Cutters?
And they still hadn't been defeated. And the dogs that I bought, they run with them. Couldn't outrun them.
Cutters, what is cutters, Mr. Wheeler?
Quit the track when that dog catches up,
I
see. Around and
yeah.
Picks up a
yeah.
head
yeah.
over on. If
yeah.
you don't get away out of town, he won't bark and run.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You just quit and the other catches up with it. Babbler's one barks when he don't smell it on following another dog.
What?
Babbler. That's called a babbler.
Yeah.
I don't like to hunt with the fellas got babblers and cutters. When I get a hold of one, I get rid of it that quick.
Yeah. Well, what do? Give it to somebody else?
Yeah.
Well, you know, they'll hunt it.
Give it to somebody else or either take it way off somewhere.
Yeah.
Let somebody off, right? But they don't want to mine with them to see it running.
Yeah.
Get some of them to follow him or run him.
Yeah.
Or where Carter said he just knocks him in the head.
Well, I can't kill a dog. I've tried to. I've had him. I knew they were going to die and I'd try to kill him. Try to get in the dark and kill him. I can't do that.
Hmm.
I don't like to kill anything.
Well, what good is it going to do you to get in the dark?
So I couldn't see it when he
hit
it. Oh, I tried to do that and I couldn't.
He don't either, Mr. Weaver. Rick Carter don't kill dogs.
He just says he does.
You reckon?
I don't know, Rick. Some people, some of them does.